Hey there. Welcome to Spirit Posse, a spiritual podcast where four good friends get together to drink wine and also talk about all things spiritual, because that is where the magic happens. We share a collective belief that there is a higher power that connects, guides, and truly supports us. We bring our most recent spiritual discoveries and our life experiences to the table. Then we sit down, we let things flow, and we just see where the universe takes us, because we know that there's more out there. We hope that this friendly and open-minded exploration will speak to you as you experience your own spiritual journey and awakening. We are the Spirit Posse, Kim, Carrie, Jennifer, and Monique. Hey there. So this podcast is called This Body, This Life. Jennifer came up with the topic and she posed some questions and thoughts for us. We kind of analyzed the idea that the body we inhabit is our spirit's home for this lifetime. How do we build awareness for it? Are we listening to what it's telling us? Are we honoring it? Are there times when our bodies have pushed back at us? Maybe how can we better tune into our bodies? And how do we view our bodies from a spiritual perspective? So that's what we were kind of thinking about.
There's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot. Well, and I don't think that we all, actually, I went with a different, you know, kind of a variation of one of these that you also threw out. So wherever we want to start, we were all just kind of thinking about spirituality in our bodies.
Well, I can start. I mean, the reason I thought this was so interesting is because the body is the vehicle that we experience spirituality, right? And this, our spirit, we all believe, has lived many lives and has come into this life for some reason in this body. And we should honor it. We should probably do all the things that we aren't supposed to be doing. You know, we should be healthier. We should be exercising. We should be eating better. We should be drinking less. We should be, you know, doing all these other things, sleeping more, et cetera, et cetera. But at any rate, the body is how we experience spirit. And I think that that's really interesting. I think I told you all that I am doing this certification over the last few months in NIA, N-I-A, which is a form of exercise. And it is a spiritual exercise like yoga, but it's based in the art of movement and the joy of sensation and how you come to spirituality by feeling movement through your body. And some of that is tied to breath work. And we've been through some of these breath, you know, exercises like transformational breathing. And we know that breathing sets us in the right space for meditation, to connect with spirit. But movement also does that. And we've also talked about that. Like Monique, you talk about moving meditation when you're cooking or whatever. I was doing something around the house and I thought, I'm going to make this a meditation. You know, whatever that is that you're doing in movement can be a meditation. But in my NIA practice, it's about feeling like the energy in your fingertips and your feet grounding into the earth and the movement of energy flowing through you and spirit flowing through you when you're moving. And I think that that's a really interesting concept because that is the basis of everything that we're studying, in fact, right? Everything is about feeling, is the awareness of feeling everything spiritual within the body. It is the five senses or the six senses, if we're thinking about our sixth sense, our spirit, intuition, our chakra, right? Our seventh chakra, sixth chakra. No, I'm meaning the opposite.
What is six? You mean six eye.
Third eye.
Third eye.
Third eye.
Six sense. Third eye.
Whatever that is called.
Yeah.
Right.
Numbers are.
So we use the body to understand everything. That's how we interpret everything that's coming to us, how we see things. So in this dance and movement, it's martial arts, it's dance, it's healing arts. But we have to think about looking around with your eyes and being aware of the space that you're in, which is very similar to like taking a walk in nature and looking at the trees and like the Japanese talk about forest bathing and the way that you can feel connected to spirit through your body in different spaces. So that's a very interesting thing. And
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Because I had never heard of this. So where is it from? Like what culture, what region?
Oh, well, it's from North America, and it was developed by a woman named Debbie Rosas, who is in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
And it's been around since the 80s. But it's really, she studied really everything you could study, from different kinds of dance forms to different kinds of martial arts to yoga and healing and all kinds of things. And this is a mishmash of all of it.
Incorporated it all.
Which is really interesting. But I don't mean to just focus on Nia, but that's kind of brought me to this heightened awareness of walking through your day and being present that you are in your body. And that's what actually gave me the idea about us thinking more concretely about how we interpret our spiritual lives through our body. So I also went to this interesting yoga session a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about also how you interpret body and springtime and how that affects our body. And that she said two interesting things. One thing was that our body wants to be free and that our body wants to be safe. And for us to experience spirituality, we need to be able to feel both those things. Yeah.
So if the body wants to, it wants to be safe and it wants to be free, correct?
Yeah, apparently.
So how is the body free? Like what is an example? How do you free your body?
Yeah, I think when we think about it from a spiritual standpoint, what you want to think about is energy moving through your body. Mm. And how does that happen? And movement is one way that that can happen. In this class, it was in the yoga class, she said, your hips are the body's junk drawer.
That's funny.
Nice. That was funny.
That's why I have hip issues all the time.
Yeah. And that you trap things in your hips. And so you need to like stretch and move every morning. And there's this idea that that helps you flow. And I think, don't you think that that's true? I mean, that the whole idea of breath work, of spiritual silence and stillness is all about releasing flow through our chakras so that we're able to feel sensation, also about emotion and about how we process emotion, and that we want to keep letting that flow through our bodies so that it doesn't get stuck.
Right. We don't want to trap it. That makes me think of, you know, just people feel tension in different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, some people might get like a horrible headache. Some people might get a neck ache, a back ache. So yeah, so to be free is to maybe, you're saying, move through those emotions and don't let your body hang on to that anxiety or angst or fear.
Because I think they say that that can be stuck energy. You know, like when they do acupuncture and they say like they're working on your meridians and you have stuck energy in your shoulder or something, but it could be angst or fear or anger or worry, and it's somehow manifesting it in physical pain. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think that that's kind of what they say.
Don't you believe that that's true?
I 100%
like think about
that
when we say
true.
My stomach feels sick and we're stressed out about something.
Yeah.
Our gut holds so many of these negative emotions. And so that makes a lot of sense that it would make our stomach hurt.
Totally. Yeah. Or our head hurt or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's what free is.
So, yeah. So it's interesting because I'm piggybacking on what you're talking about, Jennifer, but probably about 3 weeks ago, I talked to somebody who, well, Val Wood, who we've all talked to in the past, but she's great. And she was kind of helping me work through some things. And she suggested that I needed more movement and flow. And she suggested Qigong. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yes.
But that's another method. Probably a little bit, maybe your person kind of took a little bit from that too. It sounds like they looked at different modalities.
And Qigong. Is that how you say it? The doctors give you an assigned motion, don't they?
Well,
to free something?
Yes. A Qigong, it's spelled Qigong. And you can YouTube it and you'll find tons of people who do different videos and practices. So, and long and short of it, I found somebody who I kind of felt like I got and connected with, and he does anywhere from a 10 to 20 minute Qigong daily, and I YouTube him and I go through, I pick the ones that I want to use. But for me,
that's great.
Being a little bit, you know, a little bit ADD and not being able to focus for super long amounts of time, it's great because I can do 10 minutes in the morning, but it's exactly what you're talking about. It is, it's a way for me to start my meditation. And I've just started this literally 3 weeks ago.
Great.
And, oh, that's really cool.
But it's grounding to the earth with your feet.
Okay.
And it's a lot of breath work and focusing on your breath, and it's movement. It's moving.
Sounds like Nia.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's why I'm saying it was really interesting to hear you talk about that.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like Nia, and I imagine
you have to come over here with me. That, we can do it together.
And, but you do it before you meditate?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Because it gets me.
I do it. I have to exercise before I meditate, or I can't sit still.
Oh, interesting.
But to me, it's
you have
almost
to get the wiggles out.
This is almost a moving meditation in a sense.
Yeah.
It's I pick the 10-minute one. I mean, you can do longer for sure. But I like the cadence of this person who I have connect, who I feel like I've connected with as far as like really appreciating his style and how he moves and following him. I really like him and
so
he relaxes
great.
Me. And so I do these movements, but it's about grounding into the earth.
Do you remember his name?
No, okay. Because that's me. But my point is, it's very similar to what you're saying. And this is the first time in my life I've tried something like this, and it's really resonating with me. And interestingly enough, I've had some hip issues in the last 6 months, and some of these movements have really help me. And I don't know if it's the spiritual side of release or if it's the movement itself, but I have felt a lot better.
Well, don't you think they're connected?
Yeah.
They're totally connected.
So I felt a lot better by doing this. So I bring it up because for those listening who haven't heard of it, it's been for me a great way to start my day. It's 10 minutes. That's what I choose. You can do longer, like I said, but
I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
I didn't both.
Qigong is what it's called. And it is, I think it stems from stemmed from somewhere in Asia. I believe it's Japanese, but
okay.
It's a great practice.
There's a lady in our neighborhood who walks around, and she is doing
qigong some kind of
moves while she's walking. Like she does this thing, like she's waving the water away in front of her face, kind of thing while she's walking. And I believe that is a qigong. Treatment.
There are certainly.
Do they call it? What do they call it? Treatment or a
not a treatment per se. It's it's just you're giving back to yourself. You're finding a movement and finding clarity and making yourself one with the earth and releasing tension. And you know, there are certain movements that are through different. I've watched different qigong individuals, and there are certain stable movements that each uses, and some of them are. It's really interesting. I can't fully explain it, but in the end, it's like you kind of rise on your toes, and then you just take a big breath, and you just release. Get on your toes, and you release.
Yeah. Oh,
and you're letting stuff
Nia
go.
Nia must have come from that, because we do the same thing.
Yeah, and so that's what I was saying, because Nia sounds like it incorporates a lot of different types of, like I said, modalities, and I'm sure that Qigong is probably one of them.
That's interesting.
But, yeah.
I have to confess that I think I have been pronouncing it wrong. I've been saying qigong. So, just so you know.
Well, I could be wrong.
That's
but
my
that's
confession.
But he says qigong.
It's not a confession. But so where did this inspiration come from for you to randomly learn this new thing?
Well, I heard of it actually from a friend of all of ours about a year or so ago. And then it came back to me. When I had reached out to Val Wood because I had some stuff going on with my own physical health and wanted to kind of seek some guidance and look to maybe spirits or other guides or archangels to help and help me figure out what's going on.
I love that.
And that was one of the things that she suggested that she heard would be really good for me.
Yeah.
And so I took that away and you know, starting 3 weeks ago, every morning I get up and I do the YouTube in 10 minutes of that work. And it really has helped me. And it's helped, you know.
Emptying the junk drawer.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's why I laughed because you and I haven't talked about that.
No.
But when you said hip, I'm like that. It's all in my right hip. I have this horrible pain there that affects my low back. And this movement has definitely helped. So yeah, letting stuff kind of release from your body. But. Yeah, and then also grounding yourself to the earth and getting the earth's energy, which is not always easy to do, but But if you can just take a little bit of time, I mean, like I said, 10 minutes in the morning, and that gets me ready to go.
Yeah, I think it's great. I have to do something like that every morning,
yeah, too. And well, it sounds like your practice is mm-hmm. similar.
So I took a little bit different spin. You also had, when you were posing the questions in our text, mm-hmm. you wrote, am I listening to what my body is telling me? And I thought, I don't know that I am. Like, I need to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to talk about how I feel. But I have been kind of going through a challenging time. And just a lot happening in my life, which pretty much all of it is out of my control, which is not what I do well with. But it's really been affecting me. And I was thinking, how does my body feel? Like, how do I feel? And I felt some words that I don't normally use for myself, but I felt sad, kind of scared, kind of tired. And what I've been working on that connects to the body is I've been working on being happy regardless. Just knowing and trusting that I can handle anything that happens. What's that quote that I wrote for myself? I'm okay no matter what happens today. Mm-hmm. But as it relates to my body, and Jennifer, you said something a minute ago about this, as it relates to my body, what I realized is I'm not just living through my five senses. You know, we've got taste, touch, smell, sight, and hearing. And I have an I am statement that I made the other day, which I would say, you know, pertains to all of us. We can all make the same statement. I'm not a five sensory person. I'm a six sensory person. And what I thought mm-hmm. about is that using my sixth sense, which means, you know, for those of you listening, like my intuition, right? My third eye, that's a huge part of my life. And actually, it's more important to me than smell, touch, and taste. I mean, I would mm-hmm. say, you know, hearing and sight are pretty important to me. But the other three, if I had to, I could do away with those and just really focus on these others. Mm-hmm. But what I've been doing is really focusing on fine-tuning that skill or that sense and trying to really listen to the information I'm receiving in my body. And I had a really unusual experience because the more I've been working on it, the more I've been having physical reactions in my body. So I wanted to just tell you guys what happened. But before I do that, I just wrote these couple sentences down because I was reading Eckhart Tolle again, who I'm always reading. I don't think it was in The Power of Now. I think it was in The New Earth. I'm pretty sure. And he says, this has to do with the body. He says, the key is to be in a state of permanent connectedness with your inner body, to feel it at all times. This will rapidly deepen and transform your life. The more consciousness you direct into the inner body, the higher its vibrational frequency becomes. When you're connected to your body, doing, and I love this, doing becomes a feeling. No matter what you're doing, there is a life force that flows through it. And I know this, like I can wash a stupid dish and if I'm in the moment, it's a flow, it's a feeling. It becomes like, you know, music and I'm just doing the simplest thing. But he says, you can only do this when you're actually in your body. And once you are, then you can download information and intuitive guidance. So what happened, and thank you, Carrie, from reading Trust Your Vibes, which Carrie told us about by Sonia Choquette, she was talking about how your body is an intuitive receiver, which I just love how she worded that.
Right.
And she started talking about telepathy, which, I mean, I think we all know about, and I think I have an old book about telepathy, and I, you know, read it and got a little bit out of it, and, you know, not that much. But she made this telepathy comment, and all of a sudden, my body, my intuition told me to stop. And it said, basically, I knew I needed to learn more. So I was listening to this Sonia Choquette book on Audibles. And so I looked up what's a book on telepathy that I could buy right then. And so I bought this book. I didn't know anything about this book, but this is what I bought and this is what happened. So I bought the book Telepathy, Mind Reading, Clairvoyance, and Other Psychic Powers by Swami Panchadasi. And the weirdest thing happened, literally, and I documented how I was feeling. My hands started to tingle. this is what you were talking about, Jennifer. Like, you know, when we first, well, we did a grounding thing before we started our podcast. We were talking about feeling in our hands. My hands started tingling. I honestly couldn't breathe well. I had this pounding headache in my third eye. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a spiritual experience where your eyes start to water. Like you feel like your eyes are tearing up and you, I actually, mm-hmm. like I felt like I could start crying, even though I wasn't upset.
Just like emotion.
I was so overtaken with emotion. Mm-hmm. And I literally had listened to maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes of the book. And then my limbs, like my arms and legs started feeling weak. My arms and fingers were not working well.
Maybe you should not read this book.
No, it was actually.
I'm kidding.
And like such a weird thing. Then I got this weird sensation in my arms that my arms were cold, but inside cold.
Wow.
And then my whole body got like chilled. And have you guys, you know when they say spirits are in a room?
Like yeah, you can, it feels cold.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that there were spirits in the room, but I started feeling like maybe there were. I don't know. I was wondering. And then I had this feeling like my lips were vibrating and trembling. What am I trying to say? Trembling.
Yeah.
My face was vibrating. I mean, it was, I wrote all this down. Like my heart was fluttering. I felt like I was like in like a, kind of like a trance state.
Can I tell you, you are the most clairsentient person I've ever met.
Yes.
You have been like this forever. You pick up things and you
but I don't
feel
normally,
it so it, completely in I every part of your body. Felt, it's really
well,
amazing.
I have felt physical things before, Jennifer, but and I have, and I think we all have. But what was weird with this is I feel like, first of all, we're progressing in our journey where we're opening up to more. We're allowing ourselves to feel more. Mm-hmm. We know more. I don't know. We're older, wiser. I don't even know. I feel like for me, it's just I've grown enough where maybe my body and my spirituality like is open to more things.
Sure.
Because I felt like this deep sense of knowing that I was supposed that I was on the right path and I was supposed to be learning about this. I don't know why, but I knew. I don't know.
Did you have a takeaway from it?
Well, so what happened is literally, you guys, like I wrote this down when I came to because I was kind of out of it for, I don't know, it was probably 10 seconds. I don't know how long it was. I had my hand
all that in 10 seconds?
Well, I wrote it down afterwards because I was trying to remember how I felt. So I had my hand on my chest. And here was the weirdest thing. My hands were in these like contorted, like weird
claws.
Yeah.
You're making a claw
fist. That's what I was doing. And it was like, I had blood like kind of like pulsing into my hands. My hands were like all in a contorted position. And I looked at them, and the weird thing is I thought that when I straightened them out, I thought, well, they must look different because I felt like I was a different person.
Wow.
But they didn't look different. But do you know what I mean? Once you've gone through something, you're not really the same person as you were before. So I'm going to just tell you what happened afterwards. So I stopped, got up. I was at my office, and I had to walk to the post office, and I got like 3 feet outside of my office and a bird flew into me.
Like into you? Like
into me.
Where? Oh,
that's very weird.
Isn't that
actually
weird? I know.
Like it hit you.
Yeah.
Birds don't normally do that.
What?
I have never
what
been
do you suppose
by a bird.
That meant?
Yeah,
Wait, this was a sign of something.
And then
right?
One other weird thing happened. Gosh. So I walked to the post office, which is
and then you
a
became
block.
A nature bird magnet.
No, I walked to the post office and there was a car parked outside the post office and there was a painting inside the car and nobody in the car. And it's a long other story, but it was like I knew a sign for something I'd been waiting for. I went in, handed him my package. I didn't have to pay for anything. Came back 1 minute later and there was still nobody in the car and the painting was gone.
Oh,
so it was just like a weird.
What
wait,
was
and
the painting
was a sign
painting?
Of something
well,
you had
a whole,
asked for.
Like, personal thing, but yeah.
You recognized, or you connected to the painting?
Nothing. I would never make something where it isn't. It wasn't some like a sign I had just asked for like that second because of this experience. It was more like I knew it was a sign for something I'd been really stressed about. It was super obvious. Do you know what I mean?
So you recognized the painting as something that you were supposed to see.
I recognized. As a sign. So I'm always a non-believer. Like I can have the weirdest thing happen and I'll be like, that is not a sign. And anybody else,
I'm trying to be skeptical.
Mm-hmm. Whereas like if someone else told me the story, I'd be like, okay, that's obviously a sign, right?
I would like you to try not to be skeptical.
That's why I'm believing it's a sign. Right.
Good.
I am believing. Okay.
Good.
So the last thing that happened the next day is when I meditated, my root chakra, which is my biggest problem. We're going to call it at the base of the spine. We're just going to say that for anybody who knows where the root chakra is, was vibrating.
Oh,
and you know what? That's the sign. That's the sign it's opening up. And that's all about security, safety.
Yeah.
Being okay with challenges, which is what I've been struggling with. And I felt like it was somehow a letting go thing for me.
So have you felt better since then?
I think that I feel like I'm just okay because I will be okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that everything that's bothering me is gone because nothing's gone.
Right.
But I think the lesson for me is that I have to be okay despite of it.
Handling it or understanding it or coping with it. We all have had all sorts of stuff happen.
And the thing is we just have to be okay with it because when it's not us, we can't change it.
Very cool about that is how much your body told you in that experience. You were experiencing all this spiritual stuff through these physical changes in your body that you were feeling.
But I think the thing that this lesson, or I don't know what we want to call it, topic that you came up with, helped me with, is it made me force myself to think, really. I'm listening to my intuition. And Carrie, this is because you suggested this book. She talks about all these things. Trust your vibes, right?
Yep.
And it's like, you can't listen to your intuition if you're not tuning into your body because your body is the one giving you the information.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like I have to thank both of you because everything that we all help each other with, right, we learn so much.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that is a really awesome example of just really listening to your body. And that's sort of where I went with the topic that you laid out. I took a little different approach and I was really more focused on the body and its ability to self-heal if we let it, right?
Love that.
Yeah. And, but listening to the body and taking cues from the body. And I just, in the little bit of reading I did, Sonia Choquet, who you mentioned, has a chapter. And at the end of every chapter, she has like a woo-woo wisdom. And for this particular chapter, it was... And it's so precise and simple and true. It was your body tells the truth, right? Mm-hmm. If there's something off, you can feel it in your shoulders, in your neck, in your stomach. Like your body tells the truth. And one of the exercises that she brought up to, you know, really listen to your body to enhance your intuition was just the example of taking a shower, right? Oh. And I don't know about you guys, but I get great ideas in the shower.
Yes, oh. I do too. Yeah.
I don't.
You need to shower longer. Hotter water.
I need to shower. I don't really shower. I'm joking.
Yeah, you need to shower. So, but it's just the idea of the water. It washes away any, you know, mental debris and interference. And so what Sonia suggested is when you're in the shower, you can do this body scan and you can start with the feet and you can go up. And she literally suggests to ask your body what is going on. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And there's an example. She did some nice research. There's a doctor, David Edelberg, who is a holistic physician and author, and he wrote a book called Healing Fibromyalgia. So what he says is the best way to stay healthy is to talk to your body first And this is through, you know, decades of research, but he is quoted as saying, you know, your body is the best diagnostician.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
That's a mouthful.
That's a word.
Yeah.
But anyways, if you really listen to your body, it'll tell you what you need to know. So I thought that was kind of fascinating.
Okay, I struggle with that a little bit, though, because, you know, as your body ages, too, you have all these things that happen, like arthritis.
Yep.
You know, your knees hurt, my ankles hurt, my wrists hurt on any given day, whatever. And then is that your body telling you something other than, guess what, you're getting old? Or is it really telling you something that you need to know at some other level? And I haven't figured out how to like understand that, because I grapple with that, you know, like that balance of, oh, this is just aging. Yeah. This is what happens as you're over 50, or this is something that's telling you, wake up, change your diet, change your habits.
I like how you looked at me when
do
you said
something
that.
Different. I don't know. Oh, no.
Right? I don't know. And I don't know if there's a right or a wrong, but I feel like sometimes we're taught from a very, very young age. And this is another thing I read. Pam Grout had some really good information on healing. And one of her examples was, you know, from age 3 or 4 or 5, we are taught not to trust our bodies, you know. Right. And if something hurts, you go to the doctor, you go to the nurse, and you don't listen. And I think at a very young age, we have dismissed the idea of self-healing.
That is so true.
Well, and I think that's great. I love that idea. I do. And I'm sure it holds true. I just, you know, feel like it's so hard to do. How do you bring that into yourself? How do you listen to your body, and how do you let your body tell you what you need to do to cure something that's going on or feel better about an issue? I mean, I'm just saying, I know.
Do we
world,
ask in a meditation and hope that we get an answer?
Yeah, I would love to know more, you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure. And I know that there are so many people that are suffering and have, you know, pain and aggravation from different physical ailments that they absolutely didn't ask for. And they're trying everything they can think of to feel better, right?
Yeah.
And so in my, you know, reading and preparing for this, another thing that came up was in any kind of sickness or illness or pain, they talked about, and I think this was Pam Grout again, there are two reasons for, you know, dis-ease, which is out of alignment, right? So,
right.
And the first one is interesting. We've talked about this, that maybe, and this is really frustrating. It's going to be frustrating to say, and it's going to be frustrating to hear. What if you signed up for that? You know, we talked
just
about
thinking
that diving
about that.
Board.
Right.
Like,
yes.
What if you signed up for that and you're like,
you signed up to have MS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a lesson in humility. Mm-hmm. It's a lesson in trying to have discipline to work through frustration. I don't know that we have the capacity to understand the lessons we were trying to think of when we dove down. Right. But so that was one premise, is we have disease because we chose that for a specific lesson or learning for ourselves or others, which is a really hard one to hear. Mm-hmm. And then the other reason is because we're supposed to listen, like you said. We're supposed to listen to that ache because maybe there's something we're supposed to hear or do or see differently.
What if they're both right?
I like that, Monique. I think you're onto something.
Yeah, I don't think there's a black or white. I agree with you.
No, I was just thinking about, like, over the years and trying to explore some of this stuff and, you know, depending on what people believe in, and not everybody believes in past lives, but I do. And sometimes I think we carry things with us from past lives, and maybe as we go into the next life, we are supposed to heal something that we couldn't heal then. And that makes me think of what you're saying, is maybe, you know, we're intended to listen to our bodies and heal. And maybe there's also a part of us that needs to just listen to our intuition and learn in this life. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like it can be multifaceted. It's not necessarily one thing or the other. It could be a combination of things we need to be aware of and listen to in our bodies to heal that, to be able to move forward. And maybe we signed up for it, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we signed up for the healing in this life, and our lesson will be to get through that.
Right.
But we also have to rely on listening to our bodies to get through that. So a combination of things to get to that point. Mm. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's really, really interesting. And I think environment has a lot to do with how our body reacts to different environments. You know, and there have been studies we've heard about, you know, if you talk to your plants lovingly, they're going to grow. Mm-hmm.
I actually think that's 100% true. Right. I even touch mine when I walk by. Yeah.
Right. Because there's a vibe. There is a vibe.
Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said for having plants.
Yes.
Like I grew up in a household where my mother had plants everywhere, and every Sunday we'd have to water them. And I'd be like, this is such a pain in the, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And now in my house, I'm like, oh my God, living plants are awesome.
They make you feel so
good. They make you feel good. And they grow, and you watch them grow.
Your mom was way more spiritual than you thought.
Oh my God. My mom was so
I think she was too.
Who knew? I do know now, but you know, I was young and didn't appreciate it until now. But she's not here to be able to talk with her about it. But
I think what Carrie's been talking about, and what then you had some more comments. I love how eloquently you put that. I feel like it helps me to think maybe I my soul signed up to go through what I'm going through. Because if I chose it, because what is that thing that Eckhart Tolle always says? You know, you're life will give you whatever your soul needs the most for its growth and evolution. It's something like that. How do you know that's true? Because that's what you're going through right now, right? But the other thing that Sonia said in the kind of those comments that you made, Carrie, is she said when you're going through a difficult time, your ego will ask, why is this happening to me? Like annoyed, right. Like, why is this happening to me? But your spirit will ask, why is this happening for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I need this. What am I supposed to learn from this? And I will say, as much as I have not been super happy lately, and I know you guys have known me a long time, and I never say that, but I haven't been, I have learned so much, and I've grown so much. And I am so grateful for what I have gone through. So there's that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? I mean, if you just think about the difference between, ugh, why does this always happen to me?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, but if you really have this core belief, like just down to the bottom of your soul, that same rotten thing, you're like, okay, there is somebody working really hard in my favor, and I don't understand this pile of poop that's in front of me right now, but I actually believe it's for the greater good for me and, you know,
for everyone involved
and mankind.
Well, you're going to grow from it and learn.
Yeah.
Well, that's so good, Carrie, because it goes back to doing everything in your life you hope would either be done with joy or acceptance. Mm-hmm. So the hard stuff, what you're talking about right there is acceptance and saying, all right, this sucks, but I'm going to accept it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever
and
I think it is.
When we accept it and we surrender to it, that's when that feeling from that comment that I read that Eckhart talked about, where whatever we're doing has a life force in it. I felt that. Have you guys felt that? Where you just, for whatever moment, you're like, I have to go get the mail. And, oh, I get to go get the mail. I love the trees in my yard. I love the ground cover I planted. I'm so happy I'm taking my chocolate lab out instead of I have to take him out to the bathroom. Like everything becomes this, you know, symphony, and there is a life force in the simplest things because you're accepting it, you're surrendering to it, you want to be there. It's not a means to an end, it's the thing you're doing.
But I agree with you completely, and I will say it's sometimes taking joy in the little things. So I know when I was a little girl, my favorite thing in the whole world was swimming in a pool in the ocean. but walking in my bare feet through the grass. And I, as an adult, I make myself remember that and do that in the summertime when it's nice.
So good.
Because it's like,
I never thought
those
about
simple
that.
Little things and the happiness that that brings me, just walking in my bare feet in the grass in the yard.
Do you think it's like connecting to nature? What is it that you like so much?
I don't know.
Well, first of all, it's connecting you to your inner child, which is awesome.
Which I agree.
Also, again, using your body to feel spiritual peace.
And even though I don't think about it that way, now that we're talking, I'm like, even if it's feeling like grounded to the earth or having that sense of grounding and security. But for me, no, I think it's really, like Jennifer said, connecting with that inner child. Feeling like those happy memories from just being a free little girl without all the extra stress of life and enjoying like those moments of just walking in bare feet in the grass. I mean, that's just my thing. Yeah. Everybody has their own thing, their own memories, their own things that make them happy. And I just...
You know what's weird when someone says one comment? So I walk around and sometimes I'll touch my trees because I love trees. And I used to get really sad. Like we had a tree by the street and the city came and cut it down because it had Dutch elm disease or whatever. And I was all sad. And my aunt and uncle, my aunt's passed away now, but they lived on a Christmas tree farm. And she was like, you know, Kim Marie, she's like, that is the cycle of life. You know, like we cut down trees all the time. People buy them for Christmas trees, whatever. That's what happens. And so I kind of look at it differently. But my point is I will touch them and it stops me. But I never thought about the grass. And now that you said that, I know when I go out in my yard and I'm barefoot, it's going to stop me for a moment. You know, it's interesting. Yeah.
And again, it's feeling spiritual life force through your body and through your five senses and hopefully your six senses.
Mm-hmm. And have you guys ever said that? All of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I'm a sixth sensory person. And I know that might sound woohoo to people, but
not at all.
The woohoo wisdom. I keep listening to her. I'm listening to her. That's the end of every chapter.
Yeah.
But a lot of people wouldn't really say that, but I think we are. Like, I feel like if I had to, I would rather be blind and have my sixth sense.
I think everybody has it.
Everybody does.
But they're not aware of it.
Though. Right.
Yeah. Not necessarily aware of it.
But I think to me, it's more important than any other sense.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to throw a really crazy curveball at you.
Ooh.
Here's this idea.
Okay.
So we have all these things that we feel in our body that might be from emotions that are not meant, are not digested, if you will, or, you know, processed. And so we can feel that in our heart, maybe we have some heartache that we need to process or something in our gut or whatever. But there's this other idea that we maybe carried things through from a past life, right? Mm-hmm. That's one concept.
Okay.
And that's a whole thing to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing to unpack, which I was reading about recently in this book from this psychologist in Minneapolis, whose name I can't remember right now, is that we all carry historical trauma from our ancestors.
Okay. Yeah.
Like we don't have enough already.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, from the generations of our ancestors who've had issues, I remember going to a healing session with this psychic woman a long time ago at the chakra house.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I couldn't get rid of this rash that I had on my lower left shin. Could not get rid of this rash. I went to three doctors, dermatologists, no one could get rid of it. So I mentioned it offhandedly to her in this session, and she did this whole thing.
I
and
she's,
do you remember this?
I remember
this. Yes, I remember
said,
this.
You have some historical connection. This is a cord that's tied from generations way back in Ireland. There was a feud between your family and another family, and I'm thinking, okay, that's my dad's side of the family.
Yeah.
Anyway, somebody in your family killed someone in that family.
Oh my gosh.
And they have like put this curse and this all this stuff, and there's all this bad baggage around this that hasn't been cleared. You need to cut the cord.
Mm-hmm.
Can we cut the cord?
Yeah. And you were like, please. Yeah.
I was like, please cut
you
the
were.
Cord.
You were like, oh, for the love of God, cut the damn cord.
The cord.
Then I called my dad.
Yeah. And your dad kind of believed it, didn't he?
It was his brother, wasn't it?
It was my dad. And I told him this crazy story. And I was like, so what do you think about that? I cut the cord. And he was like, okay, really glad you did that.
Didn't it go away then?
It went away.
Yeah. I remember.
Wow.
The rash went away. Is that the craziest thing you ever heard?
That is crazy.
Yes, but no. I mean, I love that we don't have to preface like, okay, now I'm going to say something crazy, right? But do you know, I just did a cord cutting thing with one of my relatives. And I did it with Gabby Bernstein. And I've done it probably 5 times with the same person.
Great.
And I love the person. It's not. But
you repeatedly have to keep cutting the cord with them?
No, it's not even that they're coming to me and asking me for something. It's I'm too close to their situation. Do you know what I mean? I'm too worried or invested in their situation.
They're here in your life. They're not from past generations. Yeah, they're someone you're dealing with
and they're
right
not
now.
And they're not even doing anything. It's right, my right. mental okay. state with them.
Right. That's very cool.
Okay. So circling back to, you know, the idea of that our body is such a big receptor for intuition and spirit. And I think spirit speaks to us. Mm-hmm. And there's so much evidence and so many signs. And we didn't even talk about placebos, but that is just a crazy, real accepted fact, right? That sugar pills can, you know, be just as effective as actual medication.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You know, and people don't dispute that.
Yeah.
But there's a couple quotes, and this book is from our friend Rainn Wilson, and it's a really cool book. It's basically a book of questions, this one. And the question for this particular page is, how do our minds affect our health? And then there's a little section that's called Dig Deeper, and there's some quotes. And I thought there was a couple really, really, first of all, good questions and then good quotes.
And what's the name of the book, Carrie?
The name of the book is Soul Pancake, Chew on Life's Big Questions. It's pretty awesome.
Okay.
I think we should drink a couple bottles of wine and, you know, take a page or two at some point in time.
The big questions.
Yeah, we could do it. We could do it. But so this is from Cicero. Diseases of the soul are more dangerous and more numerous than those of the body. So when you hear that, what do you think? What do you think Cicero is saying? What do you hear?
Can you read it again?
Diseases of the soul are more dangerous and numerous than those of the body.
Well, that's something that we create within ourselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. No,
because you can talk yourself into being sick.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. You totally can. And that's not discounting real pain and real frustration and real issues that people have.
Of course not. Of course not. But to recognize that that is a truth and something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really deep. I got to think about that.
Well, I would just say this. I would say that going forward from tonight, let's focus on being more body aware and listening to what our body might be telling us, feeling energy flowing through it, honoring the body when it gives us messages and feelings. And maybe we can continue to talk about how we're processing all that. I think that would be really cool.
What I'm going to take away from this whole discussion is when I have something going on in my life, I'm going to ask for intuitive guidance and I'm going to wait and use my body to hear and receive the message. Because I think when I get, like Sonia calls it, a hit or a vibe or, you know, hit with your intuition, that it comes through your body. It's not just always, I mean, yeah, it can come through your mind. That's also part of your body. But I think that, you know, there are signals and there are feelings and there are emotions and there's a sense of what you should do. And I think that that's what your body is there to tell you. And if we don't stay connected to it, then we don't hear. And the last thing that I've really learned from Eckhart Tolle is if you stop for a minute and you take a deep breath and you turn inward and you try to connect with your inner body, the second you do it, you can feel your body. Mm-hmm. You can feel the blood flow. You can feel your breath. You can feel your vibration. You can feel your energy. And it's as if then it will speak to you, but you have to stop and turn inward.
Love it.
Yep, I agree.
Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. If you want to reach out to us, our Gmail address is spiritpossepodcast@gmail.com.